I figured what we'd do first is have a couple of folks who can much better than I talk about what goes on at the mission. They're there, staying there, in rooms now, but they started just like everyone else did, walking up those steps and going into the homeless shelter. For many of these guys, and not all, I mean, some guys, they know it's a short-term thing and they've got a plan. For other guys, when they walk up those steps, it's nothing but despair, hopelessness, embarrassment, shame. So not only do we want to give them the physical bread, and not only do we want to attend to their immediate needs, but we also want to, first of all, show them the love of Christ, but second of all, share the gospel with them, the hope for a future, the love of Christ, the mercy and the grace that's given to us by our Father God through the blood of Jesus. So those are the things that are on our hearts and minds as those guys are walking up the steps. And what's nice is most of them don't even know it, especially the guys that are coming out of BCP, which is Berks County Prison, or out of a rehab center, that have been sent to the mission for a home plan or whatever it might be. They normally come in and are a bit surprised. I'm surprised that more things don't go on at the mission, and I think because there's a covering of protection of the Holy Spirit over the building and our organization. It's the prayers of everyone who's involved in the ministry, the board members, the staff, the guys that are in discipleship, as well as all the good people out there that are praying for us at all the churches in our network. So I thank you for that. And with that, I'm going to introduce Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is, well, he's held several different positions at the mission, but currently he's our caseworker. And if I can just toot his horn, because I know he's not going to do it, Mike is so good with the guys. This man is integral to our operation. He spends time with the guys. He helps them get benefits, where applicable and where available. He works with them to, whether it be get jobs, dispense their medication, or just be a listening ear. Mike's there. And he's one of the guys that I see that has just a huge heart, and exudes the love of Christ on a daily basis. So with that, take it away, Mike.
As Mr. Wiley and his wife will both attest, I'm not normally short of words, but for some reason, all of a sudden, there wasn't any words there. I think maybe the true testimony of the mission, I may be a bad example in one sense, because I was probably the most broken man that ever walked up those steps. Many of you may have gotten the fundraising letter from the Easter. I was that Mike. I had a wife that was killed in an auto accident with my infant's or unborn child. I had a son who became an addict, who's in and out of prison, who's in prison today. And just a little over 2 years ago, about this same time, I tried to kill myself and came very close. In fact, there was a couple of days there, they weren't even sure that I would live. But by the grace of God, I did. I spent 47 days at Spruce Center, and I was angry at everybody. I mean, I was angry at you. I was angry at the world. I was angry at anything that came near me. I was angry for the doctors for saving me, angry for God, because I knew he did not care for me, that there was no way, with everything that was going on, there was no way that he could be in my life. There was no way that he could have existed. And then what did they do? They put me in a cab, and where of all places in the world they send me, Hope Rescue Mission. Here I was, a man who had a very lucrative career, and I mean one of six figures. Was down to nothing. I had $22 in my pocket, the clothes on my back, and staring at the steps that went from what I could best determine was somewhere close to hell. Imagine coming from that background and having to walk those steps, having no idea, no hope, and no real desire. I got into the door, was greeted, suddenly realized over the course of a few moments that I wasn't the only one in the same situation. Went through the process, and for some time, I just kind of sat and listened. I couldn't let go of the anger. I couldn't let go of the hurt and the pain. But bit by bit, day by day, a little of it got chipped away without even me realizing it. And I used to sit in the 6 o'clock chapel service every night going, all I really want is something to eat and go lay down. Why do I need to listen to this? This isn't going to help. This isn't going to get me where I want to be. But again, bit by bit, people like yourself coming in. Sometimes it was just a touch on the shoulder. Sometimes it was somebody walking over to me and saying, how are you feeling? Is things going better? Let's talk. And over that time, the stone in my body that was my heart began to beat. And I was able to accept that it was not Christ that had left me, but it was I who had left him. Mm-hmm. And that all I had to do was open my heart and open my mind, and he would be there for me. That's the journey I'm on today. Frank is telling you the things I do. I don't do those things because it provides me a place to live, or something to eat. I do those things because that's what Christ has asked me to do. And I don't mean like there was a, here's a note, Mike, you need to go do this. It was just I kind of got led in that direction. As I struggle every day with it, as I was sharing with some others earlier, I get up 4 o'clock every morning. For a couple hours every morning, I study and pray. And my last prayer as I go out of my room is, thank God for the day you've given me. Allow me to use it wisely and allow me to help those who need it. I don't have much to give. All I have is myself. All I can do is be there to help and show others that maybe that there is really hope, that Christ can reach into their heart, and that there are ways that you can live and live in a world maybe not free of sin and never will be, but in one that you can feel loved and that you can defeat the devil. I was told once, the devil only has a chance when good men are willing to be silent. And I think as a group, and I know as an individual, I scream daily, you have no chance, before us will not be silent. Christ will speak forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it. I think for all of us, I just wanted to kind of throw this out here. I worked for 12 and a half years as an analyst before coming to the Hope Rescue Mission. If you would have asked me several years ago to come and do what I'm doing today, it wouldn't have happened. I was really comfortable sitting back there in my little cube doing my analytical work and not having to deal with people, quite honestly. Not having to deal with the communication issues between folks and the disappointments when people let you down and all those relational issues. Now that's my job daily. And I'm dealing with some of the most difficult folks to deal with, in our society. So God works miracles in our lives. And I know he's worked a miracle in Mike's life. And the next person that I'm going to introduce is just a very, very special, unique, unbelievably gifted individual. His name's Warren Clare. He came to us through Teen Challenge. And I'm going to let him tell the story, but, it's a made-for-TV movie. So I'm going to let him get up now and speak to your heart's content, my friend.
How long do I have?
How about we call it 15 minutes?
Okay.
Timer, 15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes and counting.
In 15 minutes, you're going to hear a fire truck barreling down on us all, and my lips will be zipped. I don't always listen to Frank, but I always listen to Siri. I am super impressed when I hear stories like Frank's, and like Mike's, and like mine. Totally implausible. I retired 10 years ago, started drawing Social Security, started drawing my pension, and first day of my retirement, I spent all day in the rocking chair. Second day of my retirement, I started rocking very slowly. I was all set. I had a career, a very fulfilling career. I was an educator. I was a researcher. I was a talker.
Imagine that.
And I retired to a house on the lake with beautiful sunsets, lots of fish. I had a shop. I was all set. I was all settled. Who could ask for more? Okay? I had 3 children, 9 grandchildren. I have twin 11-year-old grandsons. Imagine the delight to a grandfather. The only downside of having twin 11-year-old grandsons is you got to buy 3 of every toy, one for each of them and one for yourself. When I was back working hard and teaching classes and teaching at Teen Challenge and here, let me get my timer visible here. Okay. Where was I? I was teaching and doing all these kinds of things. Teaching at Teen Challenge, teaching at Salvation Army, teaching at college. Very fulfilling. Now I'm done. If anybody tried to figure out some way to get me off my rocking chair, no way. I was rocking off into the sunset in that rocking chair. If I was going to play music like I very much enjoy, there was one local band that I was going to audition for. They were called the Platform Rockers. But something happened. Lord wasn't finished with me yet, and I was not very anxious about hearing that. So I rocked away and did the fishing and did the wood carving and played with the grandsons and so on. Maybe I was a little thick. I was a little bit enjoying myself too much. But he knows how to get through. And the first thing he did was gave me a health crisis. I'd always been active, athletic, basketball, tennis, and so on. Never got injured. I was always very careful. I just wore my knees out. There was no cartilage left. So, had good health insurance, show up. Yeah, we'll give you 2 titanium knees. It'll cost you $300 each, and your health insurance will take care of the rest of it. So now the middle one-third of both of my legs is titanium. Now I can do even better in my rocking into the sunset in my retirement. Except Lord had a special blessing for me as a result of that surgical experience. And that was I had a reaction to the anesthetic for the first knee surgery, so they changed it. And I had a different reaction to the second one, which resulted in a really surprising blessing. The Lord blessed me with an addiction, a medical addiction. And I figured I could manage that too, but an accident and a DWI and a court case and a hospitalization with an acute withdrawal and close to a seizure and close to death. And at age 68, I figured, I maybe ought to take another look. And the look involved, first, detoxification and good medical treatment, then inpatient rehabilitation, and then outpatient rehabilitation, and that didn't work very well. And so the extreme measure of a 14-month commitment to Teen Challenge came down the pike at age 68, okay? I figured I was a pretty good candidate for a teenager since I had celebrated 55 anniversaries of having become a teenager. And I committed myself, despite having been a professor and now taking classes with some people also working in their GEDs, I committed myself to making an approach to things that no matter what I had was studying and no matter how often I had studied it and how many times I had taught it, what I was going to do was not leave it until I had brought my understanding and experience of it up to the next level. And wow, that was dynamic. So here I am on Teen Challenge. I finished the major part of their program, looking for the next phase. Had some contacts in Philadelphia, a church that I was going to work with, and all kinds of resources and projects and prospects, and I figured, man, this is neat. So I got a ride to the Reading bus station on my way to Philadelphia, and my ride was not available. I called somebody else. They're not available. I called my daughter in Syracuse. Get on the internet, see what you can do. I spent a full day in the bus station at Reading, Pennsylvania, and I could not get out. Mike had 22 bucks in his pocket. That would have gotten me to Philadelphia. I had $6 in my pocket. That left me stuck in Reading. And nobody calling all around could find a place for me. So I heard that there was this place called Hope Rescue Mission in Reading. So I walked from the bus station to Hope Rescue Mission despite having two titanium knees, walked up those huge steps despite having two titanium knees, and got a bed in Safe Haven. And that was 6 months ago. What has happened since has been the most awesome experience of my life. I had, while I was at Teen Challenge, developed a kind of a call it a vision series. And part of it was I had come up with a design for a trinity using a mathematical, this carving has three sides, but simultaneously has one side. And it's a Mobius twist, if there are any topologists amongst you and so on. I brought some with me. I found that you can make a wood carving of the Trinity with biblical woods. And so this is a piece of olive wood from Bethany, from Bethlehem, close to Bethany, about 6 miles south of the Mount of Olives. And olive trees grow a couple thousand years, so this could have been alive. You can't cut an olive tree down. It takes 1,000 years to grow another one, so they only prune them. And the people follow after the pruners, pick up the things, sell it to people like me, and I do things like make Trinity rings from the olive wood from Bethlehem. Also found that Moses had the tabernacle made out of acacia wood, and the mercy seat, and the Ark of the Covenant, and all of the vessels, and all of the utensils, and all of the ornamentations, altars, and so on, were from acacia wood, and found acacia wood. So, at the Hope Rescue Mission, they set me up with a shop, all donated stuff and so on, but they did pay the power bills, and that was necessary. And we started making Trinity rings, and guys got into it. And I got into the Rescue Mission situation. And I came to realize that, hey, Rescue Mission, my concept had always been it's a place to get handouts. If you're hungry, you get bread. If you need shelter, you get a bed. And most of the literature, and I disagree with this kind of literature now, but most of the literature has pictures of individuals who look a little bit scruffy, even scruffier than I look. That's not what it was about at all. Yeah, there is bread, okay? And when you're hungry, you need bread. And in the life I had been living, which was very professional and upper middle class and, you know, three kids and they all have master's degrees and I've got more degrees than the three of them combined and all this other kind of stuff, you don't think about that too often, except every once in a while I go down and speak at the rescue mission. I even taught a class at the rescue mission. I've taught the Salvation Army and so on, and lots of churches and so on. But be there? But here I was. An addict in a program with a court case, $6 in my pocket, and appreciating going to chapel and having a meal and having a bed, and then discovering that, hey, we can do some woodshop things here and so on. And then one of the models for the Hope Rescue Mission is that it is very dear to Jesus' heart that if somebody is hungry, you feed them. And if you hand out food to a hungry man, you will feel Jesus' pleasure. I felt that. But give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So not just a hand out, which is absolutely necessary, and it's a delight to Jesus' heart, and I love feeling his pleasure, but a hand up so that you can get your life out of crisis and get out of your addiction and get out of your joblessness and homelessness and poverty and so on, and buy your own bread and become responsible for all of your own housing and family responsibilities and so on, and then can send some of the bread that you earn with a hand up back to the mission to help the next guy. But then, man shall not live by bread alone. Give us our daily bread. The best bread is all of the words that come from the mouth of the Father. And so you feed that bread. And what, when you look at what God reveals to us about that kind of bread is even more valuable. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, discretion, discernment is worth more than gold, silver, and fine gems. And so, yeah, you feed them bread, you teach them how to get bread, then you feed them spiritual bread, and then you start life enhancement in knowledge, understanding, wisdom, discernment, discretion. And so we get into the hand out, hand up, life development mode. And Crisis Center is one of those, but Development Center is one of those. We were talking on the way up about the Solomon Center, the education center, the library, and so on. We're talking about giving individuals an opportunity to learn literacy. There are some people who are illiterate yet. We want some literacy volunteers so that you can come to the Hope Rescue Mission and learn how to read. Some people without a GED, we want some GED mentors. We want to have individuals who have a high school diploma do college prep things. And then we want to assist college students in getting through, and we want mentors and so on. But it's more than just intellectual and academic. It's also talents. And so we want to have an art center and a music center for instruments and for singing and for choir and all these other kinds of things. We'd love to have a worship team led by Frank, who leads worship teams at churches. We'd love to have him lead a worship team at a rescue mission and so on. Okay, we've got all kinds of things like this going on, and it's super exciting for somebody like me who got knocked off his rocking chair by being blessed with an addiction and put into what is now a more exciting life than I ever had before or thought would ever be possible. He talked about bread, I've talked about bread. There's a cute little story about bread. Three breads, okay? The first one is the physical bread. You give it. You teach people how to earn it, they're on their own, and so on. The second is the spiritual bread, every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. Okay? The third one is, in order to pay for this, it takes a third kind of bread. And there's a story here. I got 10 seconds left.
You can go over.
I'm going to go over a few minutes.
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. I got you, but I'm going to go on a few minutes more, okay?
I don't know what that means.
Hate that kind of honesty. Does your pastor ever take his watch off and put it on the pulpit? And a visitor says, what does that mean? And I understand that Frank probably says absolutely nothing. Three kinds of bread. The bread you eat, the bread you give when somebody's hungry. Hand out. Hand up. Education. Being able to buy your own bread. Learning how to buy bread. Learning how to have enough bread to be able to give some of your bread so that the rescue mission can buy bread to feed the homeless and so on. Okay? And an interesting story about the three breads, okay? This is kind of bad news, but good news, and then interesting news, okay? The bad news is that bread costs money, and even spiritual bread costs money to be able to deliver the facilities and so on. And the bad news is the amount of bread at the end of the month that's required to buy the first two kinds of bread is a little bit less than the amount that the bills indicate. Okay, that's the bad news. We've got red ink, okay? The good news is that the amount of bread necessary to bring us out of the red and into the black is readily available. We found it. The very interesting news is that the bread that we found is still in your pocket. So watch for the bread plate in the back, and at the end of the month, think about sending some of bread number 3 to the Hope Rescue Mission. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I really appreciate your words, your honesty. I'm neither a teacher nor a speaker, and I'm certainly not a minister or a pastor in any way. And so I brought these guys along because I think that hearing from them really shows you two things. Number one, it shows you what's going on at the mission. And number two, it's just a prime example of what Christ is doing in the lives of the individuals at the mission, mine included. As I said, I'm an analyst by trade or by technical vocation. Went to school and got a degree in finance and went to work for the Vanguard Group. While there for 8.5 years, I got my MBA, and then I went out and joined another company out in Wyomissing, and I was there for almost 5 years. And then I had a crisis in my life, and I went through separation, divorce, bankruptcy, job loss. And I very well could have ended up walking up those steps myself if it wasn't for just an awesome church family that surrounded me and lifted me up and encouraged me and helped me in every way. I could have been there. And during my 14 months of unemployment, grew a lot in Christ, but also decided, you know what, because I'm blessed, because I'm able to not be at a mission, homeless, penniless, I'm going to serve my time there. So I started serving at the Hope Rescue Mission back in, I guess it was 2010, and just started going there and hanging out with the guys and maybe just talking to them. Then I got a church group together, and we provided a couple of meals. Then I got bolder and I decided, oh, you know what, I'll run a couple chapel services. And as Warren said, I do worship, so I brought my guitar and the guy seemed to really enjoy that. And so I did that a few times. And as I started going and serving there as well as the Salvation Army and doing other outreach things with my church, I found that the Lord was healing me and blessing me. And the people that I was coming into contact with, they would tell me, oh, you know, you're such a blessing. And I'm like, well, no, actually, you're the blessing to me. Because when I see how happy and joyous and content these folks can be with so little, it just opened my eyes to the blessings that God had given me. And I have a son who lives with me. He goes to school in my school district. And basically, I was a single dad during that period of time of unemployment and, you know, had my son with me. I have two older kids as well, and now, actually, I'm remarried and have another two kids. So I have five altogether now. But when it was just me and Braylon, I'd pick him up from school, and we'd go do things in the afternoon. And he asked to go up to the pagoda one morning. So we drove up there, and we were praying over the city. And at this point, I'd been looking for quite some time. I was trying to start a business, and then I decided not to do that, just to continue to go, you know, back into corporate America and do the same thing I'd been doing for 12 and a half years. And it seemed like doors were just slamming in my face, and recruiters were saying, you're too honest. You can't tell people you're a single dad, and they're not going to hire you. They want somebody, you know, I mean, the position that you're in and the level that you're at, you have to be a go-getter. You have to be looking to, you know, get up the corporate ladder. And I said, you know, I can't do that. You know, I can't sell them a bill of goods that isn't true. You know, my whole life is turned around, and it's God, family, and then everything else. And so I went up to the pagoda, and we're praying over the city, and I just said, Lord, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm open. I'm broken. And I'm yours. 2 days later, I got a phone call from the Hope Rescue Mission. John Hart called me in, and I had no idea why they even wanted me. They had some folks that had a master's in divinity and counseling and social work backgrounds, and yet they wanted me to come in for an interview, to interview for the program director position. So I went in and I did it, and, you know, met with both Rob and John, and afterwards they said, pray about it for a week and we'll get together and we'll chat. So I did that and went back there, and they said, we'd like to hire you on if you would like to come on. And I said, absolutely. But there was just one thing that was like in the back of my mind I had to have the answer to. I said, can you tell me why you want me to work here? Beings that I have no experience, prior experience, doing any of this type of work. And John Hart said, quite honestly, Frank, it's your openness and your forthrightness. The things that you shared, we want somebody like that here at the Hope Rescue Mission. And that's when I knew it was God. So that's how I came to the Hope Rescue Mission. It's been a little bit over a year. I started working there on March 12th, 2012. And many great things have gone on, and we're still, you know, building his kingdom there and reaching out to men. But my message for you today is simply this. Our hearts towards the poor should match those of God. I'm going to just give some scriptures here. Old and New Testament. Psalm 12:5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Proverbs 14, verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have a many curse. Isaiah 41:17. When the poor are needy and seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for the thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. So that's the Lord talking there. He's not going to forsake them. So if we've been given the spiritual richness of salvation through Christ Jesus, shouldn't we have that same heart for him? In the book of Ezekiel, when he was talking about Sodom, it wasn't all the sexual sin that actually brought them down. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. In the book of Amos, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, thus saith the Lord, for these transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. He was scolding Israel for them not paying attention to the poor and the needy amongst them. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, and go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And that's when the rich man said, oh, this is too hard, and walked away. And lastly, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Wow. The richness that I have in Jesus Christ emboldens me every single day to pour out what I have for those that, first of all, don't have a clue who he is and that don't know how spiritually rich they can be. But before they can even begin to hear that message, we have to be able to tend to their basic needs first. And those are the handouts and the hands up that Warren was talking about. And those are the hands out and the hands up that these guys received when they came in. I'm not asking that everybody pour out their wallets and just throw them into the bucket. But there are three ways that you can help the Hope Rescue Mission. One of them is give financially, and that would be great, and we would be much appreciative. The second way would be if you have a gift or a talent, or you know somebody who does. We need folks to volunteer. We need folks to come in, and if nothing more, just come in and show the love of Christ to these guys. But if you have skills, and if you say, I can build, or I can, do plumbing or electricity, I have IT skills, I have musical skills that I can impart upon these folks, I am a retired teacher, or even an active teacher, and I can come in the evenings and give classes, or maybe work in the computer lab for an hour a month. We need folks like that as well. But the most important thing is we're asking for your prayers. I've been reading a devotion book recently, and we are a byproduct of this statement. When you pray regularly, irregular things happen on a regular basis. And I say we are a byproduct of that because things just happen at the Rescue Mission that we have no idea other than God just ordained it. As we were finishing up 21 rooms on the third floor to expand our work transition program, I was in charge of the program and was getting a little bit nervous because how are we going to furnish all these rooms for these guys who are going to be coming in, that many of them are getting jobs in Safe Haven and then moving up to rooms, so they don't have anything. They're homeless. They don't have anything except the clothing on their backs most times. How are we going to furnish the rooms for them to provide them with a nice room? All of a sudden, we get a phone call from the Comfort Inn on Fifth Street Highway. Hey, yeah, we're refurbishing our entire hotel. Would you guys have any use for for some bedroom furniture? You know, and things like that happen regularly. And the only reason I believe it happens regularly is because we're praying regularly. And that's when irregular things happen on a regular basis. So however you would like to help us out, not only are we appreciative, but just know that you're going to help men like this and many, many others that come from all walks of life. It's kind of funny. I brought two older gentlemen here just because they happen to be available, but it certainly isn't a demographic of the Reading area. I was trying to get a young Hispanic guy to come out, but it didn't work with his schedule. We deal with all kinds of men from all different backgrounds, and we just want to be a blessing to them all. And if you can be a part of it, then we're much appreciative. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here today and take up your time. I hope that that we can receive your prayers, and I hope that that we've blessed you in some way today.